Hello, and welcome to Can't Make This Shit Up, a true crime podcast. I'm Cassie, a true crime enthusiast.
And I'm Mark, her dad, a true crime professional, currently a traffic homicide detective in South Florida.
And we hope you guys enjoy. So we apologize that this episode will be coming to you a little bit late, but I was feeling pretty under the weather. So if my voice sounds a little funny, that might be why. This week, though, we'll be covering the case of Mike and Dahlia DiPolito. Have you heard of this?
Mike and Dahlia? No, I have not. DiPolito sounds, it's a familiar name. I've heard it before, but I don't think I've heard this case.
So this is a wild case. I think you're really going to enjoy this one.
Okay.
So this case is definitely can't make this shit up material.
Okay.
And it takes place in perhaps one of the greatest can't make this shit up states. What state is it?
Florida.
First try, correct. Yes, it's a Florida case.
God, everything happens in Florida. So and I get the hell out of here.
Yeah. So this case was suggested by one of our listeners. Her name is Rachel. So hi, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel. Thanks for the suggestion.
Yes, thank you, because this is a perfect case for us, and it's kind of...
Oh, boy.
This will be a good one.
Okay.
So,
now
I got...
Me intrigued.
Oh, it's intriguing. So, I got all of my information for this case from various news articles and also an episode of 2020, which I will link in the show notes.
Okay. Oh, that's big time.
So, our story begins on August 5th, 2009. In beautiful Boynton Beach, Florida.
Ah, Boynton Beach.
Ah, Boynton Beach. 26-year-old newlywed Dahlia DiPolito and 39-year-old Mike DiPolito are in bed together in their home. At 6 a.m., Dahlia gets up and leaves their home to go to the local LA Fitness.
Yeah, I know this one.
You do know this one? Damn it. I was hoping you didn't.
Shit. No, I already. Yep.
Anyway, it'll still be good.
Just, they also did an episode on cops on this. They were
don't
actually
ruin it.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to get there.
Okay.
So before she leaves, she tells Mike, who's still in bed, that on her way back, she'll pick him up his favorite drink from Starbucks. However, only a few minutes into her workout, at 6:20 a.m., Dahlia receives a phone call from a phone number she doesn't recognize. So she ignores the call and continues her workout. Soon, she realizes that the unknown caller had left a voicemail message. She listens to it, and she hears, quote, "This is Sergeant Frank Ranzi from the Boynton Beach Police Department Detective Division. I need you to call me as soon as you can, ma'am." Alarmed, Dahlia quickly returns the call. Sergeant Frank Ranzi explains to Dahlia that there's an emergency occurring at her residence, and she needs to return home immediately. He tells her, quote, "Can you come right back to your residence, please?" And Dahlia responds, "Yeah, I'll meet you right now. Is everything okay?" And Sergeant Ranzi answers, quote, "Ma'am, I'll tell you everything you need to know when you get here." Dahlia leaves the gym and quickly rushes home. When she arrives, there are cameras surrounding her house. She makes her way to the police and informs them that she's Dahlia DiPolito and asks them what's going on. As a result of the cameras, what happened next is caught entirely on film. Sergeant Ranzi informs Dahlia, quote, "Listen, we had a report of a disturbance at your house, and there were shots fired. Is your husband Michael?" And she responds, "Yes." And it is then that Sergeant Ranzi tells Dahlia the heartbreaking news, saying, quote, "I'm sorry to tell you, ma'am, he's been killed." As you can imagine, Dahlia immediately breaks down. She grabs onto the detective and starts screaming, "No." Sergeant Ranzi maintains his composure and gently tells Dahlia that she needs to try and calm down so he's able to get some information from her. It takes a few moments for Dahlia to regain her composure as she works to come to terms with the fact that her husband of only 6 months was dead. The two had been a power couple, both young, both good-looking, and seemingly happy. Dahlia was raised by an Egyptian father and a Peruvian mother. Her family was extremely religious and, by all accounts, were also extremely close-knit. She and her family had moved to Boynton Beach when she was 13, and Dahlia had resided there ever since. For those who don't know, Boynton Beach is a part of Palm Beach County, which is an extremely wealthy area of Florida. Of her family, Dahlia told 2020, quote, "We were constantly doing family activities, family vacations, and a lot of family dinners, big Sunday dinners. While Dahlia's family was middle class, they seemed to maintain a very nice lifestyle, and once Dahlia had graduated high school, she pursued a career as a real estate agent. However, Dahlia wanted a more lavish lifestyle than her career in real estate provided her. And in order to make some extra money, Dahlia decided to use her good looks to her advantage and become an escort as a sort of side hustle."
I didn't know that part. Okay.
She was an escort. So she made a profile on a website called Eros.com, and she would meet men for dates and make some extra cash. It was while working as an escort that Dahlia met her future husband, Mike DiPolito. He was looking for a companion for the weekend and paid Dahlia to come to his home. While there, he ordered a pizza and the two began to get to know each other. So, do you remember hot attorney Matt Murphy from one of our previous episodes?
Vaguely.
He was in that, remember the episode of the guy who murdered his friend in the theater?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then I was like, the district attorney, Matt Murphy, he's a hottie.
Yes, it's coming back to me now.
He is back, baby.
Oh, boy, you're happy.
Hot attorney Matt's back.
Hot attorney Matt.
So of Mike DiPolito, hot attorney Matt said, quote, "Mike DiPolito is an interesting guy. Just like Dahlia, he wants a lavish lifestyle. He yearns for the finer things in life. Also like Dahlia, Mike was a good-looking guy, and he also worked out frequently and was very muscular." So I'll post pictures of them, obviously, on our social media after we release this.
Right.
So Dahlia explained to 2020 what initially attracted her to Mike, saying, quote, "His personality was really engaging, and I felt a really strong connection." After their first weekend together, Dahlia eventually began hanging out with Mike for free. The pair both loved fitness and the outdoors and would go on dates hiking and biking together. However, unlike Dahlia, Mike had a very difficult upbringing, and early on in his adult life, he spent time in prison. He'd been running a scamming operation in which he'd contact people by phone and convince them to invest in penny stocks, which were essentially worthless, but he'd promised them a return, which would never actually come to fruition. So if you've ever seen Boiler Room, he was running that scam.
Right. Or Wolf of Wall Street.
Right. Mike was eventually caught and served 2 years in prison, and he was also sentenced to 28 years of probation.
What?
28 years of probation. Isn't that crazy?
Good Lord, I've never heard of that long of a probation. Ten's the longest I've ever heard of.
However, despite his checkered past, he expressed to friends and family that Dahlia made him feel safe, secure, and loved. And Mike believed he was turning over a new leaf. However, there was one major problem. Can you guess what it was?
He was probably his religious background?
He was married already.
Oh! Okay, didn't know that either. All right. Sometimes that's worse than religion.
Yeah, for sure. Mike was already married to another woman when he began hiring Dahlia as an escort. Despite this, he and Dahlia began a hot and heavy affair. Dahlia explained, quote, "I was told that he was going through the divorce proceedings. He had actually sent me papers showing that he was going through the divorce process." Although that was a lie.
Mm.
Although their relationship began with some falsehoods, 6 months after meeting, Mike had officially divorced his wife and he had remarried Dahlia.
Okay, well.
Dahlia's mother, Randa Muhammad, was shocked and did not immediately approve of the marriage, recalling, quote, "She showed me her ring. I was like, wow, you got engaged? And she says, no, we got married. I wasn't happy at all, but it was done." Which, I understand that as a parent. I wouldn't want my kid to marry someone they've only known for 6 months.
Yeah, that's a bit extreme.
However, only 6 short months later, Mike was apparently murdered in his own home. Dahlia asked to see Mike, but Sergeant Ranzi assured her that she shouldn't see him in his current state. Instead, he requests that Dahlia come back to the station with him in order to answer a few questions. When they arrive, they place Dahlia in an interrogation room, and another officer, Sergeant Paul Sheridan, reads Dahlia her Miranda rights and proceeds to ask Dahlia several questions in order to ascertain what had happened to Mike. At one point, he asks Dahlia, quote, "Are you sure that you don't know anybody who would want to kill your husband?" And Dahlia responds, quote, "My husband is on probation," which, weird answer to that question.
Yeah.
And Sergeant Sheridan asks, quote, "For what?" Dahlia replies, quote, "For stock fraud." She then goes on to explain that she believes that his previous fraud scheme may have played a role in his murder. She informed Sergeant Sheridan that Mike still owed restitution to several of his victims, and she suspected that he may have been killed as an act of revenge. She also explained that Mike had been about to be released off of probation early, but his victims made it known that they were very upset by this news. She also suggested that perhaps the former partners Mike had run his scams with may have had a reason to kill him as well, as some of them had fled the country instead of serving their time, and they may have been nervous Mike would actually turn them in.
Okay, that's plausible. I mean,
very, very plausible.
That's a hell of a, like, an alibi or story to give that's pretty good.
As the questioning went on, Dahlia became more and more comfortable with Sergeant Sheridan and began confessing more of Mike's secrets to him. She informs him that Mike had been a recovering alcoholic and a drug addict and had previously been addicted to crack. She also explains that Mike normally would have attended the gym with her that morning, but he wasn't able to work out at that time because he was recovering from a liposuction procedure. At this point, Sergeant Sheridan tells Dahlia, quote, "You're lucky you went to the gym. I don't know if you know, he was shot. He was shot twice." Finally, Sergeant Sheridan begins asking Dahlia about her and Mike's relationship. He says, quote, "There's no problem between you guys, no financial problems. I mean, with your family, you and him." And Dahlia replies, quote, "No, there's nothing." And he then asks, quote, "You wouldn't want to kill him, I hope. Not at all." And Dahlia answers, quote, "We are fine, like there's nothing." Sergeant Sheridan then brings in a buff, black man who is in handcuffs and asks the man, quote, "Do you know her?" He then directs the man, who is bowing his head, to look up and look at Dahlia. Dahlia, seemingly confused, states, quote, "I've never seen him before." Then Sergeant Sheridan asks the man, quote, "What were you doing coming out of her house?" The man refuses to answer, and at that point, Sergeant Sheridan asks another officer to take him from the room. He then asks Dahlia again, quote, "Do you know who this guy is?" And Dahlia assures him that she's never met the man and does not recognize him. Finally, Sergeant Sheridan's tone completely changes, and he tells Dahlia, quote, "You're going to jail today for solicitation of murder. You're under arrest. That's an undercover police officer. We filmed everything you did, recorded everything that you did. You're going to jail for solicitation of first-degree murder of your husband." Dahlia then says quietly, quote, "I didn't do anything." Sergeant Sheridan answers, quote, "Did you hear what I just told you?" And Dahlia replies, quote, "I heard what you said, but I didn't." Sergeant Sheridan then assures her, quote, "Listen to me. Everything has been recorded. You were photographed in the convertible when you sat in his car in front of the CVS. What do you want me to do?" Once again, Dahlia says, quote, "I didn't do anything." Finally, Sergeant Sheridan drops the biggest bombshell of all. He tells Dahlia, quote, "Your husband is well and alive." Dahlia then says, "Oh, thank God, can I see him, please?" And Sergeant Sheridan replies sarcastically, "Oh, thank God? No, he doesn't want to see you." However, after several moments, he opens the interrogation room door and reveals Mike DiPolito standing outside in perfect health. Dahlia is shocked and after a moment says to Mike, quote, "Oh my God, come here," and Mike refuses. Dahlia then begs him, saying, "Mike, come here, please." And from outside the door, Mike answers, quote, "I can't fix this." And she then yells, quote, "I didn't do anything." And Mike calmly answers, quote, "I heard you," still refusing to enter the room or come any closer to her. Finally, the police lead Dahlia away in handcuffs as she says, quote, "I don't know what's going on, please." Ultimately, Dahlia is taken into custody. By now, you're probably wondering, did Dahlia really attempt to plan the murder of her new husband? And if so, how in the world was she caught? Well, we're about to lay it out.
There you go.
As it turned out, Dahlia had been having an affair, this time with a Jordanian national who worked as an actor and businessman, whose name was Mohammed Shihada. Dahlia described how she met Mohammed for the first time to 2020, saying, quote, "He had a convenience store business, and I had actually walked into his store. That's where we struck up a conversation, and we both had a Middle Eastern background, so we just ended up developing a friendship. As it turned out, Dahlia and Muhammad had carried on an on-and-off friends-with-benefits relationship for over 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So they had been friends with benefits for over 15 years, and it
How old is she? Because I could have sworn she was relatively young.
She was 26. So she met him when she was really young.
At 11.
So I get... Well, I doubt they were sleeping together at 11, but...
God,
at some,
I hope not.
But at some point, it started... Yeah. Okay. Along the way. In July of 2009, while married to Mike, Dahlia once again reached out to Muhammad, and the two's relationship started up again. She explained to Muhammad that she was unhappy in her marriage and claimed that Mike was frequently physically abusive towards her. She explained to Muhammad that she was looking for a way out of the marriage. Over time, Dahlia finally confesses to Muhammad that because Mike is so physically and mentally abusive, she doesn't believe a divorce is an option. Instead, she wants to have Mike killed. So, on July 31st, 2009, only 5 days prior to Mike's murder, the couple meet at a gas station in Boynton Beach. There, Dahlia tells Muhammad that the abuse is getting worse and she is now desperate to have Mike killed. Following their conversation, Muhammad begins to grow nervous and is fearful that if Mike does turn up dead, that he will somehow become a suspect and he wanted no part in the killing. So he decides to do the right thing and calls the Boynton Beach Police Department and explains that his friend Dahlia is planning on having her husband murdered. They immediately request that Muhammad come to the police station so they could question him in person. When he arrives, he explains, quote, "She asked if I knew someone who could kill her husband for her. I said basically, no, I don't. She tells me he's the nicest, sweetest nerd, but she can't stand him." Incredibly, he also confesses to police that Dahlia had confided in him that she'd already attempted to kill Mike once before, but failed.
Okay.
She told Muhammad that she'd poisoned his Starbucks iced tea with antifreeze, but after tasting it, he'd refused to drink it because he recognized that it didn't taste the way it normally did.
Wow, okay.
However, despite their somewhat intimate relationship, Muhammad confesses to police that he is not aware of her home address, and he can't even recall her last name.
What?
You've known this girl for 15 years and have been sleeping with her on and off, and you don't know her last name?
Like, I would expect that if it was a one-night stand. You know, like, you meet somebody, you get their name, you go home, whatever, then that's it. But 15 years? You don't even get a last name?
Yeah, he said, he's like, I honestly don't know what it is, he told the police.
Wow.
I was like, okay, Muhammad.
Wow.
So they asked Muhammad to call Dahlia and set up a meeting and attend the meeting wearing a wire. Because the pair had previously met at a mobile gas station, the investigator suggested that he meet Dahlia there again in order to minimize her suspicions. Detective, I think it's pronounced Asim Brown, picked up Muhammad and outfitted his car with cameras and recording equipment. When Dahlia arrived to meet Muhammad, it only took seconds for her to once again bring up having her husband killed. So wow. she got right to business. She was like,
right,
here we go.
Right to business. Cut through the shit.
Muhammad asks, quote, "Honestly, you're going to kill him over that much money?" And Dahlia replies, quote, "It's not even over the fucking money. Like, it's not even about the fucking money." At this point, Muhammad tells Dahlia he knows of a hitman she can hire. Muhammad then says, quote, "Okay, all I'm trying to say is this guy's a professional. It's not shit. All he does is get it done and that's it. It's done. I know him, you know. He's, like, good at it." Dahlia asks, quote, "But how am I supposed to know what day he's going to do it?" Muhammad responds, "He might tell you, oh, like, you know, to get out of town or something for a day." Dahlia then says, "I'm not going out of town." Next, Muhammad asks, quote, "His mom is not going to get suspicious of you or anything like that?" Dahlia responds, quote, "Why me? No one is going to be able to point a finger at me." So lots of self-confidence in that one.
Well, confidence is key.
Finally, Dahlia assures Muhammad that she wants to go through with the murder and hands him $1,200 to give to the hitman so that he's able to purchase a gun. She also handed Muhammad two pictures of Mike to ensure that the hitman knew what he looked like and murdered the right man. She then asks Muhammad, quote, "You sure everything else is okay?" And he responds, quote, "Yeah." She says, quote, "You're sure, sure?" And Muhammad replies, quote, "What more sure do you want? you're planning a murder. Come on, stop it, yo.
Well, that's good. He was keeping it real.
He was keeping it real. And with that, Dahlia believes that she has purchased the murder of her husband. On August 3rd, 2009, at 5:55 p.m., 2 days before Mike's murder, Dahlia then agrees to meet with the hitman she's hired in a CVS parking lot. As Hot Attorney Matt explains, quote, "What she doesn't know is this hitman she's about to meet is actually Whitey Jean, a Boynton Beach police officer who is working undercover on this case."
Whitey Jean?
Whitey. It sounds like Whitey, but it's yeah. Whitey. W-I-D-Y.
Oh, okay. I was like, damn.
I'm assuming that they never said, but I'm assuming he's Haitian or something, because Jean's like a very Haitian.
Yeah, French Creole or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dahlia parks her car, walks over to Whitey Jean's vehicle, and says hey before climbing in. Once inside, Dahlia asks, quote, "How soon can you get everything going?" And Whitey responds, quote, "Well, that's up to you." She then tells him, quote, "Well, I need it done like this week." So she needed it fast and in a hurry.
Damn.
She was desperate to get this man killed.
Oof, poor sucker.
He then asks her, quote, "I just want to make sure that this is what you want. Are you sure you want to kill this dude? When it's done, you know, you're not going to have an option to change your mind." And Dahlia replies, quote, "I'm positive, like 5,000% sure. Like, no, there's no, like, I'm determined already."
Cold-hearted. Damn.
Cold as ice.
You're willing to sacrifice.
Cut that my love. No, I'm going to keep that in for sure.
Oh, my. All right.
Meanwhile, Detective Alex Moreno is listening to the exchange nearby. He recalled to 2020, quote, "We were shocked how easily she talked about getting her husband killed." Of the exchange, Hot Attorney Matt said, quote, "The line is classic. I'm positive, like 5,000% sure, you know? So she is so committed to this."
Yeah, it's like there wasn't even like chit-chat, get to know each other, like nervous exchange. There was like straight like, "How quickly can you get this done?" Like,
and she was so, if you watch the actual tape, she was so demanding of the guy. Like, she was like, "I need it done this week. No excuses."
Wow.
Of his meeting with Dahlia, undercover detective Whitey recalled, quote, "The most surprising thing about my meeting with Dahlia was how adamant she was in making sure that this was done." So at this point, the pair confirm the details of the hit, and Whitey explains to Dahlia that the murder will take place that Wednesday, and she needs to go to the gym as usual, and when she returns to her home, her husband will be dead. So the day the murder is scheduled to take place, remember how there were cameras there when Dahlia showed up to the scene?
Uh-huh.
She thought they were just news cameras, but in actuality, it was cameramen from the hit show Cops.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
What you gonna do when they come for you? Because they were filming the officers involved that day.
Can't make this shit up.
Can't make this shit up. So Hot Attorney Matt explained, quote, "Now the Boynton Beach police say that show had been interested in their department for several months. Arguably, the cameras had never captured a scene quite like this one. They were about to hit the jackpot."
Jackpot they did hit, boy.
The morning the murder is scheduled to take place, Dahlia leaves the house at 6 a.m. along with a smoothie and her purse and leaves for the gym as she was directed by undercover officer Whitey. So while Dahlia is gone, the officers get to work setting up a fake and elaborate crime scene. They put crime scene tape around the building and pull up multiple cop cars and leave their lights flashing. They even left the front door of the home ajar and sprinkled fingerprint dust all over it to look as if they'd been fingerprinting. Finally, when all is prepared, they call Dahlia to bring her back to the house, and the rest of the story we already know. When Boynton Beach detectives contacted Mike and informed him his wife was attempting to have him killed, he'd been shocked. As far as he knew, he'd been involved in a happy and loving marriage. He explained, quote, "I met Dahlia and we got along very well. There was never any friction. We never argued. How can I say? Our sex life was incredible." Furthermore, he insisted to detectives that he'd never abused Dahlia in any way like she had claimed. Mike also explains to police that because of his past illegal activities, he owed his former victims $191,000 in restitution. But if he were to pay back that money, he'd be able to petition to get off probation early. When they'd gotten married, Dahlia told Mike that if he came up with $100,000, then she would add the remaining $91,000 in order to get him off of probation. Mike agreed, and she told him to transfer the money over to her, and she would then add in her money and wire it over to Mike's attorney. During this same time, Mike begins noticing unexplained things seem to be happening to him. During one occasion, Mike decides to take Dahlia on a weekend staycation, and the couple stay at the Ritz-Carlton. While driving in his Tahoe, Mike is pulled over. The officer tells Mike that they'd received an anonymous tip informing them that he'd been selling drugs out of the Tahoe, and they asked to search his vehicle. Knowing that he had nothing to hide, Mike allowed the officer to search his Tahoe. The officer found nothing, thanked Mike, and left. Mike thought it was odd, but brushed the incident off, hoping to have a nice weekend with Dahlia. However, the next day, Mike leaves to get gas in his Tahoe and finds a baggie inside full of white pills and a white powder. Of the incident, Mike said, quote, "And that's when it hit me. I said, wait a minute, you know, somebody put this in my truck and called the police on me. They just didn't find it. I remember I said to Dahlia, I said, did you put drugs in my truck? And she adamantly denied it, so I let it go. Fine, fine, you know, every instinct's telling me this doesn't make sense." But whoever searched that vehicle didn't do a very good job.
Yeah, well, you know.
He had a full-on big-ass baggie of pills and cocaine, and they didn't find it.
Because for him to find it, like, where was it that had to be pretty accessible for, you know, for him to find it on his own, but...
Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure in an article I read, it was, like, shoved under his driver's seat.
Oh, then, yeah, that was a very bad search of the vehicle.
Yeah, I'm like, how did you not find that?
We always look under the seat.
Well, this cop said, today's not my day, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to do no paperwork.
Mike recalled, quote, "Before I met her, I don't think I've had a run-in with the police since I've been out of prison. I meet her, and I'm running into the cops more than probably ever in my life."
Oh, she's calling the cops on him all the time.
But she's like, no, it's not me. It's so weird. I don't know. That's so odd.
Yeah, men are so gullible when it comes to women.
It was also during this time that Mike became aware that Dahlia had not actually transferred the money he'd given her to his attorney. He said, quote, "I knew clearly that she'd stolen my money. She's telling me she's going to get it back, and I'm doing everything in my power to believe her." Mike, little pretty baby Mike, you're so pretty. But it's time to start using that big old brain of yours, my friend.
Well, he said, he was using the little brain. He said the sex was amazing, so... She had the golden triangle, I guess, or whatever, so.
Yeah, you can't be blinded. Yeah. You can't be blinded by that, Mike.
Men get distracted.
Next, when the couple returned home, there is a knock at the door early one morning. He explained, quote, "All I see is a bunch of cops, and I'm like, oh boy." I go downstairs, which is true because this poor guy's been to prison and stuff, so he's probably like, this isn't good.
Oh boy's his reaction.
He goes, oh boy.
I'm sorry, that struck me as fuck. Oh boy. I'd be like, God damn.
He said, "I go downstairs. I hesitantly open the door. I thought they were there to arrest me, but they said, you have to come with us. Your wife is going to have you killed today." I was like, officers, can we not have a little couth? This poor guy.
Bring it to the man gently, you know?
You just laid it on him like that, poor guy?
Yeah, he just ripped off the band-aid.
And mind you, this is all caught on cops, this whole exchange.
I saw this, like, back when they aired it the first time, and I was like, this is fucking crazy they got all this shit on. I thought it was, like make-believe as I was watching. I thought it was, like, a cops episode that they were, like, making up, but it turned out to be real, and I was like, holy shit. And then the documentary or the thing on 2020 came out, and...
Well, it's funny because you see his face, like, when they lay it on him like that, all fucked up. They just tell him, and he literally, like, falls over because he's so shocked he can't breathe.
Yeah, well, second before that, he thought he was going to jail.
Poor guy. He already had his adrenaline going at an all-time high, and then the cops are like, "Ooh, your wife's going to have you killed today, bud. Come on."
Because there's nothing scarier than seeing a buttload of cops at your door if you're on probation trying to be straight. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm the type of person who, like, I never get in trouble. But even when I see cops, I'm like the crazy person who has that weird thought that's like, what if there's a warrant out for my arrest that I have no idea about? And what if they're here to get me?
Oh, God. Okay.
I'm like, what if I did something that I don't recall?
You and I are going to have a talk off mic.
Once he regains his composure, the officers take him down to the police station and begin telling him about his wife's murder plot. Detective Moreno recalled, quote, "I also played a little bit of the audio where she says I'm 5,000% sure that I want him killed." Mike, of course, is stunned.
Yeah.
Of Dahlia, Mike Tipolito told 2020, quote, "Three words to describe Dahlia, liar, liar, liar."
You got to think, I mean, if you put yourself in his position or think about his, in that moment, he thinks everything's okay with her, right? Because essentially everything's going well. They're, you know, they're in a relationship. They're still assuming having great sex for him and, you know, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, she wants to kill you.
You thought it was good, but it ain't.
It ain't. Yeah. It's like, you know, like out of, I guess, for the 100,000 that he gave her or whatever, but.
Yeah, I think she wanted him either arrested or killed so she could keep the money, and that'd be that.
And right, and just move on to the next sucker.
So he also said of Dahlia, quote, "It wasn't like kill him softly, don't hurt him. It was like blow the guy's brains out. Can I get a cheese sandwich with that?"
Yeah, like she's like, no nonsense, like straight to bin, just kill that sucker and
kill that sucker, get him out of here.
Damn, I got $100,000 to spend.
When Dahlia gets to jail, she makes several phone calls, the first of which is to her mother. Because mind you, of course, these are all recorded.
Yes, all jail calls are always recorded, and we always have access to them.
During the phone call, she tells her, quote, "Mom, I'm in jail, but I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything." Her mom, Rhonda, answers, quote, "You didn't. I know you didn't. Okay, how many times did I tell you to leave that guy? How many times did I tell you?" So, mom believes her right off the bat. You didn't do it.
Of course.
Incredibly, Dahlia's next phone call is to none other than Mike.
You're kidding me, right?
She calls Mike, the guy she just tried to kill.
Tried to kill. And tell me he doesn't answer.
Oh, he answers. So, Mike...
He's still at the police station at this point?
No, he's home. He's home. Oh. Mike answers and he says, quote, "Hello." And Dahlia says, quote, "Hey, it's me." Like, nothing happened. I'm like, Dahlia, are you okay?
She's clearly not okay.
Mike answers, quote, "Yeah, what's up?" Dahlia then begins crying and says, "Nothing, Mike. Can you please come here? Mike, please. I need an attorney. Can you please help me?" So she's asking him to get her an attorney.
Bitch, you got 100 G's of mine. You get your own attorney.
You can't make this shit up.
Can't make this. I'm telling you, humans are special. It's crazy.
Too crazy. Mike answers, quote, "You said you wanted to have me killed. I heard that." Dahlia answers, quote, "That's not true. That's not true." Mike then asks, quote, "How is that not true?" And Dahlia responds, "How could you believe that?" And Mike then says, "I heard your voice." He then tells Dahlia, quote, "You're going to be running around in there for a little while, a couple of days. You just need to try and go with it. And keep to yourself and don't say a lot." She then cries, telling him, "Mike, I love you. Don't do this to me. I'm sitting here. Everybody treats me awful here."
Yeah, it's jail.
Yeah, that's how that goes there, Dahlia.
Yeah, you're a criminal.
So would you have answered her phone call?
Fuck no.
Me either. I would have been like, fuck that bitch. Although maybe I would just to be like,
rethinking it.
Just to be like, you know, I know this is recorded and I'm kind of interested to see like how she's going to try and spin this.
Yeah, probably. I mean, my first instinct would be no, not to answer because naturally she just tried to have me killed. But the curiosity in me is like, what the fuck was she thinking? What's she thinking now? Calling me like something's wrong with her. Crazy, crazy. Bitch, mentally ill, something, I don't know.
She's not all there. She's a few fries short of a Happy Meal.
That's for sure.
Of the phone call, Mike explains, quote, "Everybody asks me, why did you take the phone call? I had to take the phone call. I had to hear what she was going to say. I couldn't help myself to not take that phone call. I know she's never been in there before, and I mean, it's not a nice place. I tried to tell her, stop acting the way you're acting, or you're going to have a rough time in there."
That's for sure.
So you might think that the story ends here, right? Well, you'd be wrong. We're going to have a whole other part of this episode to discuss all the further insane ins and outs of the case. So next week, we'll discuss the trial and Dahlia's defense, because I'm pretty sure you're going to get a good chuckle out of that one.
Yeah, it gets crazier than the actual planning of the of the actual attempted hit on her husband. So
yeah, the second part's even crazier than the first, if you can believe it.
Because I'm telling you, because she's like batshit crazy. It's special.
So we do have a question.
Okay.
This question is from Jennifer. So hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for the question.
She says, how do you actually do the podcast with being on different coasts? So good question, Jennifer. We actually...
You're just going to tell our magic like that.
I'm going to tell our magic. I don't care. We use a program called, it's called Clean Feed, and that's how we record, and you can record remotely. And then it doesn't have a camera option, it's just audio. So what we do is we also FaceTime each other while we're doing it so that we can actually see each other. So that's how the magic happens, Jennifer.
Well, damn, you took the wind right out of my sails. They were like, I built it up like magic, and you were like, we just fucking record it and FaceTime each other. Like, yeah, that's it.
Jennifer, I'm sorry if the buildup wasn't up to your expectations.
There's you know, we do have the time difference, which, you know, sometimes gets in the way, and sometimes my career gets in the way, and, you know,
or I get sick,
or you get sick, or the children get in the way, and
yeah,
you know, so which they're never in the way, but you know,
so I don't know. Sometimes they can be in the way sometimes.
Maybe for you, but for my grandkids, they're never in my way. So.
Well, until next week, if you'll follow us on our social media, we are at Can't Make This Shit Up, a true crime podcast on Facebook. On Instagram, we are at Can't Make This Shit Up Pod. On Twitter, we're at CMTSU Pod. And if you ever want to submit a question or a case suggestion, or as I always say, preferably both, then you can email us at can'tmakethisshituppod@gmail.com. Or there's also a link in the show notes that you can click if you want to do that. But yeah, so until next week when we pick up this batshit crazy case, bye!
Bye! Side eye, like, what the hell?